The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Thursday edition. That makes it Friday Eve up in here. Got Dominic joining in the 4 o'clock hour. He's back home in Milwaukee these days, you know, being lazy as usual, but 4 o'clock he'll join. And also a good friend of ours, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, joining for the 5 o'clock happy hour. So we'll all be happy up in here. The breaking news, though, this is a heartbreaker. I know Dom's going to come a little salty, a little headstrong in the 4 o'clock hour. Donald Trump, the Manhattan trial, the prosecutors, Alvin Bragg and company, are asking for a delay. What the hell are you doing, sir? And I'm sure it will be granted. The prosecutors, if they're not ready, they can't go forward, right? So they've asked the court for a delay. Now, they're asking for 30 days, and I don't know what the New York trial schedule looks like, but this seems like an opportunity lost. Don't give them another day. I mean, it's time to go forward. Alvin Bragg was the first one to indict the former president. Something of a courageous act. He got out there before Fonnie Willis. He got out there before Jack Smith. He was the first one to indict a former president. And now it's his turn. I mean, as fate would have it, and I'm not happy about this trial calendar, but as fate would have it, he is first on the docket. And he's the one asking for the continuance. Oh, you're breaking my heart, Alvin Bragg. 30 days. Let's hope it's not longer than that. That would set it, you know, somewhere around April 20th. We'll see. I like that date. I can circle that one on my calendar, can't I? So that will be part of the later conversation, and we'll find out the whys. Also, Bernie Sanders has put out a proposition, a 32-hour work week. And my buddy Dominic, he likes this quite a bit. We're going to debate this topic because I've been an employer, and I do have some opinions. I'm not saying I'm against 32-hour work weeks, but, you know, let's set some reasonable guardrails. Some things are a little too progressive, so we'll debate that in the next hour. But I want to start this hour, the, you know, Badger-centric, the Wisconsin-centric hour. And I know many of our friends just joining from the Badger game, they are blowing out Maryland right now, Terrapins. If you didn't know, if you forgot the game was on, you already missed it. Game's essentially over. Badgers are blowing out Maryland. They're up 30-something. So they'll play again tomorrow, and we'll look forward to that game. Northwestern will be the opponent tomorrow. You can stream it on the Civic Media Network. I recommend the WRJN. That's my favorite. That's the one I go listen to. But anyways, today's lead in the Badger Power Hour, an editorial at the Cap Times. Derek Van Orden, he is the, what, third district congressman from the great state of Wisconsin. And their headline here, their editorial, Derek Van Orden's Evil Clown Act is getting old, I'd say. And he is a freshman congressman. But House Speaker Mike Johnson reportedly pled with members of the House Republican Caucus to behave during last week's State of the Union address by President Biden. Having been stung in previous years by attempts to disrupt Biden's speeches, which blew up in the faces of obnoxious Republicans and embarrassed the party in general, The recently chosen speaker tried to get his caucus under control. And according to the Hill newspaper, which covers Congress, a Republican who attended a caucus gathering before the president delivered his remarks on Thursday night, said Johnson told the assembled representatives, "Decorum is the order of the day. Decorum." Another Republican House member said the speaker urged his GOP colleagues to carry ourselves with good decorum. Most Republicans got the message, with one House member summing up their marching orders as, "We don't need to be shrill, you know. We've got to avoid that. We need to base things upon policy, upon facts, upon reality of situations." But as usual, Derek Van Orden couldn't keep it together. Maybe he didn't get the memo. I, Crudy, have opined. Maybe he's just an angry drunk. But I'll read further from the Cap Times editorial today. The scandal-plagued Republican representative from Western Wisconsin, who is famous for screeching at teenage librarians and Capitol Hill pages, chose to heckle Biden as the president was making one of the most undebatable points of his address to the joint session of Congress. The president was detailing the greatest of many failures of Donald Trump's tenure as America's 45th commander-in-chief, describing Trump's mismanagement of the COVID-19 pandemic. Biden explained that the former president had, and here's the quote, had failed the most basic presidential duty that he owes to the American people, the duty to care. It was at this point that Van Orden reportedly began wailing, "Lies!" So it was the Minnesota native who moved to Wisconsin to pursue a political career, put himself in running for recognition as the House's most unstable Republican. To be sure, Van Orden faces stiff competition from Georgia Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Colorado Rep. Lauren Boebert, as well as Florida Rep. Matt Gaetz and Arizona Rep. Paul Gosar, who famously circulated a video of himself attacking Biden, and Rep. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez with a sword. Even before arriving in Congress, Van Orden has developed a reputation as a buffoonish figure with a mean streak. After Thursday night's outburst, U.S. Rep. Mark Pocan, the town of Vermont Democrat, who represents a district adjacent to Van Orden's, had enough. His colleagues had enough of his colleagues' evil clown act. Here's a quote. "Derek Van Orden continues to embarrass Wisconsin and the United States Congress with his constant unbecoming behavior," said Mark Pocan. "He must formally apologize to President Biden for last night's outburst during the State of the Union. It's one thing to be a Trump fanatic. It's another when you're a member of the Congress. This constant pattern of unnecessary outbursts, whether it's teen pages in the Capitol Rotunda or administration officials at a classified briefing, has many of us worried about his temperament. And perhaps, and I'm with you on this one, Congressman, his soberness." As the Cap Time editorial board writes, "Tough review, but not too tough. Van Orden has lost control in so many settings that it's now blatantly obvious that he has a problem. And that creates a troublesome circumstance for his constituents and for Congress," as one of the largest TV stations in the 3rd District noted after the congressman's latest blow up. And again, a quote, "Van Orden is no stranger to accusations of inappropriate outburst, having made headlines for allegedly cursing at White House staff during an October briefing on Israel, an expletive-laden rant in which he chastised Senate pages for treating the Capitol Rotunda like a frat house common room." The latter incident drew rebukes not just from Democrats, but from Republicans, including Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. I guess he's the retiring Senate Minority Leader. They go on to write, "Before that, Van Orden was arrested." Remember that? This guy brought a gun on a plane. "Van Orden was arrested in 2021 after attempting to carry a fully loaded handgun through a security checkpoint at an Iowa airport." Here's the part I always found interesting, guys and girls and people listening all across the great state of Wisconsin. How'd he get the gun to Iowa? This was his return flight. I would just point that out. The editorial board, you know, they kind of let him off the hook for that one. Maybe TSA missed it on the way out. Or he just bought this gun and he absolutely knew he had a loaded handgun with him that he tried to take onto an airplane. And they write on. And then there was the time when, as candidate for Congress, he made headlines in the La Crosse Tribune and other publications after harassing a teenage aide at the Prairie du Chien Memorial Library because he was upset by a display of books on LGBTQ topics, according to Kerrigan Trausch, who at the time was a 17-year-old page at the library. Van Orden went into a rage over a display of fiction and nonfiction books that were part of the library's focus on Pride Month. It's a little unbalanced, this guy. The Cap Times editorial board writes, infuriated because he thought a book about former Mike Pence's pet rabbit was skewing young people to think Republicans are not inclusive. Van Orden grew increasingly loud and aggressive, demanding to know who was responsible for the display because he wanted to teach them a lesson. Well, technically, that would have been This Week Tonight's John Oliver that wrote the bunny story about Mike Pence's bunny. Apparently, the Pences had a bunny, and he accused the bunny of being gay and wrote a book about it. The encounter with the ranting and raving 51-year-old congressman, well, he was congressional candidate then, was very uncomfortable and threatening, said Trausch, because he was full-on shouting at this point, and he kept aggressively shoving the books around. And what is recent screaming at the White House aides and now President Biden, Van Orden has graduated from picking on teenagers to interrupting presidents. But it's all part of the same pattern of behavior. That's just what one of the many reasons why State Rep. Katrina Shanklin, a Democrat who's challenging Van Orden's election bid, said, "This man has no business being a member of Congress." I agree, Katrina. This behavior is unbecoming of our representative, and it does nothing to help folks in the 3rd Congressional District, and it isn't the first time he's embarrassed us. Shanklin's right. Van Orden has no place in Congress or in the Prairie du Chien Memorial Library. It's fine in the bars, though, you know. In that regard, he fits in. There, perhaps a circus. Evil clown, Derek Van Orden, the editorial page, effectively says, it's time for you to retire. Spend more time with family. You know, yelling at local kids and what for. Come back, the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Welcome back, all you Bucky Badger fans. A glorious victory. Another game tomorrow. More Devils. Stick around.
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Many of you across the Civic Media Network, you got our Bucky Badger playing the Maryland Terrapins. A game might be over. We're getting close to the end of the game. Bucky was whooping them. So there will be another game tomorrow. If you want to listen to the Badger basketball, you know, we're in tourney time now. You can hear it on the Civic Media Network. Check your local listings as to time, but WRJN, that's the one I go listen to. I recommend it to all the fine people out there in Radio Land. You are listening to me, though. I'm Crudy. I'm here in Madison. And I've got Aaron on the board today, at least in this hour. And I'm happy to say we're moving forward. We've got a new hire, and he's on the board today, and he's, you know, still learning the ropes, but this is not his first time on the radio. Rich, say hi to the fine people.
Hi to the fine people.
Rich, you've done this before. At least, you know, not for the greatest radio show ever, but you've been on the radio many times.
Oh, yeah, on and off for, 40 years.
40 years.
So I moved back to Madison 5 years ago, and here I am.
Here we are together,
Rich. I was just sitting around the house listening to you guys, as I do fairly frequently, and I heard your solicit for the position. I thought, I can do that.
Well, and I've done that. You applied, and you were not the only applicant. You know, you had stiff competition, and I mean that sincerely. And Rich, I'm happy to say that you've agreed to join the greatest radio show ever. So, you know, we'll sign some paperwork at some point, but thanks for thanks for getting started. On the job training, it's the best kind of training. Welcome aboard. So these gentlemen will lightly screen your calls today at 844-967-2789. The Cap Times editorial, Evil Clown. Oh, yeah. Derek Van Orden, Evil Clown. And there is some other key, and I'm not sure how important you find this, but I think it's quite interesting. My buddy Dominic actually brought it to my attention. It's sort of a political roundup at politico.com. We go there as a source sometimes. And they talk about U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hudvey from the great state of Wisconsin, or at least allegedly from Wisconsin. Some would say Laguna Beach, California. But Hudvey has been doing some offshoring to Bermuda. And Hudvey has come out publicly and claimed, you know, he's down with the Democrats in one way and one way only. And that's, you know, trying to bring fair and equitable taxation to, let's say, corporations. But would his own actions, and, you know, you got to judge a guy by his actions, would his own actions suggest that? So here's what Politico is reporting. How Hudvey cashed in on offshore insurers. Wisconsin GOP candidate Eric Hudvey invested tens of millions of dollars in insurance companies that operated in the U.S., but were based in Bermuda. Now, that's a tax hedge, folks. And therefore, benefited from not having to pay U.S. corporate taxes, Daniel reports. Hudvey disclosed during an unsuccessful Senate run in 2012 that he had assets worth at least $50 million. Now, he hasn't filed a personal financial disclosure yet for this campaign, but Hudvey has indicated that he will be self-funding his campaign. That's what Tim Michaels said. And then after he lost, he said, man, I wish I had some of that money back. But Hudvey, I confused how to say this guy's name, has indicated he will be self-funding his campaign and had suggested he could spend at least $20 million of his own money on the race against Senator Tammy Baldwin. You know what? Sadly, that's not going to get it done. Anyways, between 2003 and 13, Hudvey's asset management firm, Hudvey Capital, reported non-controlling investments worth up to $74 million in more than a dozen Bermuda-based insurance companies, according to PI analysts. Bermuda doesn't have a corporate income tax and has even offered tax assurance certificates. If you can get one of these, this is a sweet deal, folks, to insure holders temporary insulation in the event that ever changes. Meaning, if Bermuda were to ever formally come out and start charging corporate income taxes, they've already exempted the vast majority of corporations from future taxation just to give them assurance. And every Bermuda insurer that Hudvey Capital invested in held those certificates, according to a review of SEC documents. Hudvey said in a radio ad during his first Senate campaign in 12 that it was wrong that major corporations often pay little to nothing in corporate taxes. Oh, man of the people, Eric. He also said in the ad, we must get rid of corporate welfare, lower tax rates across the board, and make the system fair for everyone. Well, those were his noble words. That's what he said. But what do his actions suggest? Okay, back to the reporting at Politico. In 2021, Hudvey said that he agreed with a Democratic proposal to pass a minimum tax rate for corporations. Sounds like a Bernie Sanders liberal here, at least in his words. This is one, and here's a quote from the senatorial candidate. This is one where I really agree with them, and because I've always hated it. Companies like Goldman Sachs or Apple can put all their technology in offshore places and pay no taxes. Do you hate that, or are you just envious of it? One of Hudvey Capital's top investments was worth $7 million in a Bermuda reinsurer, Max RE, whose CEO reportedly said that many investors in the company understood it was a tax-efficient investment. To get all that, that's his direct quote. A tax-efficient investment play, and has told investors the company planned to operate so that it would not generally be subject to taxation, you know, outside of Bermuda, where they're housed. Hudvee's firm also invested in several American companies that moved their headquarters to Bermuda to save on taxes. Again, actions speak louder than words sometimes. Bermuda, which has been called the world's risk capital, is the center of the reinsurance industry. So it's a way to go and launder profits in a non-corporate taxable kind of way. That's my interpretation of this story. Here's what his campaign had to say. In a statement, Hudvee's campaign spokesperson, a friend of ours, Ben Focal, chalked up an inquiry about the investments to ridiculous attacks from liberals because Senator Baldwin can't run on her own record as a nearly 40-year career politician and rubber stamp for the Biden agenda. Now, Focal also chided Baldwin and Congress for not addressing our broken tax system that favors big corporations and leaves small and medium businesses stuck foot in the bill. Oh, what a man of the people, this guy. I feel so good knowing that he's running for the U.S. Senate, but his actions would say he's offshoring his money. He's using it as a tax hedge. Oh, my bad. A tax efficiency. The money, it just goes to Bermuda, and, you know, then the U.S. government can't ever hold him accountable for taxation. Welcome back, you Badger fans. Glorious victory over Maryland today. Another game tomorrow. Northwestern. But we got much more in this fine show. Dom's joining at 4. We got Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, friend of this fine product, joining in the 5 o'clock happy hour. And your calls, they could be next. 844-967-2789. Go Badgers.
The Devil's Advocates, because freedom.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Badger Wisconsin Power Hour. Go Badgers. They crushed the Maryland Terrapins 87-56 today. Big Ten basketball tournament. If you win, you play again. So tomorrow you can expect the Badger game at 1:30. Now, that is subject to earlier games. They sometimes go late. But 1:30 tomorrow, the Badgers should tip off approximately against Northwestern. And I'm feeling good about this team. You know, this is the time. You got a little hot streak, and that team was smoking today. They started 8-9 on the three-point line. So even if you're not a Badger fan, you got to love when the hometown university is doing well. So cheer for them. And listen on the Civic Media, the Shiny app. That's where I'd go to. Tomorrow, if you're not in the market, listen on WRJN. We will have the Badger game. Again, the tip-off, 1:30. Pre-game show starts about an hour prior. So, you know, set your clocks accordingly. But let's talk some politics, and let's talk to the audience. You are our favorites at 844-967-2789. And Joe, you're literally one of my favorites. Welcome, Joe. How you doing?
Oh, man. I appreciate the update on our dear Derek Van Orten from the 3rd District.
Evil clown Derek. Angry drunk Derek.
Well, I like angry drunk. I do like the nickname that another one of your guests had given him, which was Chug-a-Luck, which I thought was also very appropriate, considering Dom spoke of that time when he had a guest in his office on a Tuesday morning at, I think, 9:30, and was offering them beer out of the refrigerator.
That was my wife. You know, that was my wife, Joe.
Wow, amazing.
It was technically that. 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 o'clock Central.
Ah. Oh, well then, okay. We're past 8:30, so it's past the first coffee and into the first beer. What does that say about what your office is like? That during off, I mean, one thing if it was 4:30, but we're talking about 9 o'clock in the morning. He's already offering the beers. How many have you had by this point, Derek? And I think the thing that gets interesting with this guy. He's obviously, he's got huge anger management problems. And this somebody that takes a loaded handgun on a plane, because, of course, the rules don't apply to him. You know, no rules apply to him. God forbid that a Black Lives Matter person brings a loaded handgun on a plane. But he, you know, ex-Navy SEAL can do it.
Joy, have you ever wondered? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I like to wonder aloud. That was the return flight. How did he get the gun to Iowa in the first place?
Maybe he bought it there. I don't know. It's some gun show. Who knows?
Well, then it seems even less plausible. If you go out and buy yourself a shiny new handgun, as one does when they're a tourist, if you buy a new gun and you're taking it back, you don't load it up and bring it with you on the plane. You know what I mean? This guy was a Navy SEAL. This guy's supposed to be a weapons expert. And that part of it, I don't denigrate his service to the nation. It's the sort of man he has become post-service to the nation that I take great objection to.
I would agree with that. And I think you can see some more of that. There were some quotes from him from that trip that he took to Israel in the middle of the speaker vote last fall. He just bailed and went off to Israel because he was going to be the man on the ground, you know, this huge inflated ego. And when you listen to the quotes that he had, listen to some of this stuff, Crudy, it's just amazing. Quote, I will be inspecting medical facilities to have a holistic understanding of the current and future needs of the Israeli people. Okay, what do you know about medical needs? You know, you're a Navy SEAL. You're not a doctor. You're not a nurse. You're not somebody that's ordered medical equipment. What on earth do you know about it? But, you know, he's the big man on campus. It's just, and this idea that he would be the one to be offering this advice and counsel, because after all, he's Derek and he was a former Navy SEAL. And that means he knows everything. Or as he said, again, quote, he is uniquely qualified to objectively ascertain the ground truth. Oh, my God. Does he speak Arabic? Why would we listen to this guy? What on earth would he know about the ground truth? But yet this inflated ego. I think I always like to take this, Crudy, and just spin it and put a gal. Like, let's say Patty Murray was in this place and bringing a loaded handgun onto a plane. Let's say that Patty Murray out of Washington State got all upset about a library display and started tossing it around and yelling and cursing.
Or
people.
Tammy Baldwin, bringing it closer to home. Yeah. But continue, please.
Imagine that. Imagine that a gal engaged in this kind of behavior. At one point in the previous discussion, you said, okay, this is not appropriate behavior for being a representative, but maybe in a bar. I would say you wouldn't get away with this behavior in a bar. In a bar, the bartender would say, an angry grandpa who can't control his alcohol. I mean, the guy has issues, and how he represents that particular part of the state, which, man, I remember the guy that was running against him, and one of the programs
Brad
he was very involved in. I'm sorry. Thank you. He was one of the programs he was involved in was getting a suicide hotline set up for farmers who were having a really tough time of it.
That's why he was not confirmed as the ag secretary for Tony Evers, because he had the temerity of trying to hold then state Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald accountable for not rolling out the suicide hotline for farmers, and Fitzy wanted no part, so they killed his nomination, and they sent him packing. And now Brad, to his credit, is a state senator from the La Crosse area.
But listen to that. Look what we lost right there. You know, look what we lost, and instead we've got Derek, who's jetting off to Israel on, you know, whose dime, so that he can get, quote, the ground truth of what's going on. And I think that's a question to ask. On whose dime was he cavorting around Israel, and with whom, and reporting to whom for what? And do we get a report of his, quote, unique ground truth? I mean, the guy has an ego as big as all outdoors, and it's fueled by a ton of alcohol. He's obviously got major issues if you can't control your temper. It's major, major issues. So thanks for bringing him up. I think he, Chug-a-Lug, will be somebody that we return to again and again. And boy, the third deserves better than this. They deserve way better than this. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, be well, Joe. Thanks for joining. Just to put a bow on that story, my wife and I, and she was there to do some legislative advocacy. She is the host of the Empowered Caregiver Show. I'll give her a little plug. A fine show. You can hear it across the Civic Media Network, 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings. But she was out there that week, and she was lobbying the different legislative congressional leaders from the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, her issue is not a partisan issue. Caregiving affects Republicans and Dems and whatever. So she went to Derek Van Orden's office, but this was literally the week, as Joe was describing it, that Derek Van Orden had taken his ass to the Middle East. And I was there. I was covering the speaker, the Mike Johnson. MAGA Mike Johnson became the speaker, but he wasn't their first choice. If you'll recall, after they heave-hoed on Kevin McCarthy, they went through a whole series of potential speakers. I think Steve Scalise was one. There were a bunch of them. So anyways, it was chaos. And apparently, Derek Van Orden had returned from the Middle East, according to my wife's telling. I wasn't there accompanying her. You know, she's a big girl. She can, you know, lobby her legislator, advocate without me. But she went to see Derek Van Orden, and she did give credit to his team. They were knowledgeable, the staff. They were good young people. And they did offer her a beer at 10 o'clock Central time, 9 o'clock. Oh, pardon me, 10 o'clock Eastern, 9 Central. And she did point out the boss was back from the Middle East that day because there was a big traveling suitcase. Apparently, he's not a light packer, not when he goes to the Middle East. You know, wants to make sure he's got all the essentials, sunblock, swimsuit, all that kind of stuff. Thank you, Joe. Be like Joe. Call us, 844-967-2789. Dom's going to join in about 20 minutes. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, one of our favorite guests, joining in the 5 o'clock happier happy hour. The Trump trial in New York, the breaking news, apparently will be delayed, perhaps 30 days, maybe more, at the request of the prosecution. This one befuddling to me. We'll talk about it more. We'll debate the 32-hour work week. Bernie Sanders has put it out there. Dom, very supportive. I'm a little more tepid. But here's something I can absolutely support. Small business owner doing their part. And this story from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Milwaukee Bar, the mothership, says it will close during the Republican National Convention, opposing its tomfoolery. Do tell more. A Milwaukee bar is planning to close its doors during the Republican National Convention, opposing its tomfoolery. Yeah, you said that in the headline. The mothership, a Bayview neighborhood haunt known for its tiki drinks and prolific selling of Ham's beer on tap, sounds like Dom's kind of bar, posted on its Instagram and Facebook page Wednesday it would be closed during the week of the RNC. That's July 15th through the 18th. That's Monday through a Thursday, folks. I'm not trying to get involved with or actively take money or rent the space out to that tomfoolery, the post read. The post said, however, the bar could be reserved for private events for free to dirt cheap prices. You know what? I love those kind of prices. I can afford dirt cheap. Now, owner Ricky Ramirez didn't immediately respond to an interview request. The post was met warmly on Instagram, with some applauding it, others offering ideas for private events. One user pitched converting it into a private club for the week, with regulars giving photocopied membership cards. The mothership at 2301 South Logan opened in 2019, and Ramirez has been outspoken on various social issues. He previously told the Journal Sentinel the business is run eco-consciously. Well, very nice. He's planning a session on dealing with addiction in the service industry, and he held a training session at the bar to help staff recognize signs of a potential sexual assault or someone being trafficked. Well, that seems like a very conscientious bar owner. And I love this guy's attitude. Who wants the tomfoolery of the RNC in their place? 844-967-2789. We may look this guy up. I guarantee when Dom and I covered the RNC, it's going to be from outside the circus tent. Well, they say, you know, outside the tent PNN. That's our plan for coverage. Outside the tent PNN, because I am there to resist everything they stand for. This will be the coronation, the nomination of Donald Trump once again. And they're going to do it in Milwaukee this year. And Dom is quite fearful of the marching Nazis that will accompany. I'm less so. They're going to shut down. It'll be on complete lockdown. I mean, if you live in that area, it's going to be terrible. But in terms of marching Nazis through the streets of Milwaukee, Good luck with that. 844-967-2789. Hoosier Bob. How you doing, Bob?
Hello?
Welcome to the show. Yes,
hey,
sir.
How are you?
Good, man.
Question. I've got a question, and it could be my fault for not listening to you as frequently as I do. Derek Van Orten.
Yes.
How does anyone know he was actually a SEAL?
Those things are, you know, documented. He is, my understanding, living on a military disability, I do believe. But no, I don't doubt the veracity of the story about Navy SEAL. I don't think there were any active wars. I mean, maybe he went to Iraq, but, you know, I haven't seen him trying to steal any valor. But he did write a really crazy book, and his like, I'm a superhuman kind of guy book included stories of, like, how to kiss a girl. I mean, he was really quite weird. And this is the congressman in the 3rd CD of Wisconsin, which is along the Mississippi. That's most of western Wisconsin.
Well, yeah, my only reason for asking that is in one of my former lives, I knew a lot of guys who were in special operations, SEALs, Green Berets, Air Force. He don't strike me as being on target. There's something wrong with him, and it's not just the alcohol and that bad temper. There's just something wrong with that boy. I'd love to see his service record.
You know, I'm less curious. His book, A Book of Man, a Navy SEAL's, thanks, Bob, for your call. Let me make sure I get the entirety of this. I'd hate for you to miss this. You can apparently buy the Derek Van Orden Evil Clown book at the Amazon if you so choose. Book of Man, a Navy SEAL's guide to the lost art of manhood. And apparently smooching Derek Van Orden and his ghostwriter, Adam Mitchell. It's got 3.73 stars on the Goodreads book site here. Go Badgers. More Devils. Joining very, very soon. You could join right now. 844-967-2789. I know it's not local, but I want to talk about Peter Navarro. You remember this Trump administration guy? He defied the January 6th subpoenas. And then they said, go to jail. Go directly to jail. And he even appealed that. He didn't want to accept that as the outcome. Well, there is new news from the court. Peter Navarro, go directly to jail. Do not collect $200. Do not pass go, sir. Appeals court denies Peter Navarro's bid to stay out of prison. That puts a little smile back in my face. I wish Trump was going to trial sooner. That apparently will be delayed from the anticipated March 25th start date. But Navarro going to prison. A federal appeals court on Thursday denied ex-Trump advisor Peter Navarro's bid to stay out of prison while appealing his conviction for refusing to comply with a congressional subpoena related to the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol. How did Jim Jordan miss this sort of treatment? And why is Steve Bannon, I understand, different judge, differing outcome. But how is it Steve Bannon is allowed to stay outside? He has also been convicted on this contempt of Congress. Now, back to Navarro. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit largely affirmed the trial judge's ruling last month that Navarro's appeal does not raise a substantial question of law and therefore doesn't warrant his release. In other words, you're going to lose on appeal, Navarro. The federal appeals court also found that for Navarro's arguments on executive privilege to raise substantial questions, it would have required former President Trump to have invoked said privilege, which the court said did not happen here. Now, Trump has claimed a lot of executive privilege, but not in his communications with Peter Navarro, apparently. Even if executive privilege were available to the appellant, it would not excuse his complete noncompliance with the subpoena, the appeals court wrote. Appellant makes no claim of absolute testimonial immunity, nor could he. A proper asserted claim of executive privilege would not have relieved him of the obligation to produce unprivileged documents and appear for his deposition to testify on the unprivileged matters, the court order continued. And Navarro, 74, was convicted last year on two counts of contempt of Congress. Again, so was Steve Bannon. One for failing to produce documents related to the January 6th probe. Another for skipping his deposition. He was sentenced to 4 months in prison. And my understanding, federal time, he's going to do most of this 4 months. That doesn't sound like a long time. If you're in federal prison, that's going to seem like an awfully long time. The former Trump economic advisor has been ordered to report to Miami prison Tuesday. It'd be a big Tuesday for him. No tacos, which would make him the first key Trump advisor to serve jail time over his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. U.S. District Judge Amit Mehta, who oversaw Navarro's trial, had barred his attorneys from using executive privilege as a defense after finding he failed to prove privilege was ever invoked by Trump. Yeah, that would be a precursor. In court filings, Navarro's attorney said his defense was hamstrung by the open question of whether a president can direct his subordinates not to testify before Congress. Navarro himself told the judge during his sentencing he had an honest belief that the privilege had been invoked, prompting him to ignore the House January 6th committee request for documents and an interview. Huh, well, didn't work out, did it? 844-967-2789. Couldn't have happened to a nicer administration. You know, if you're going to do some jail time. Miami, though. I hear it's beautiful this time of year. You know, outside the walls. 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, how you doing, fella?
Hey, good afternoon, Crudy. First of all, a great day for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Hell yeah. Hell to the yeah, man. Where's that three-point shooting been?
I don't know, man, but I hope it could stay this way, because if it does, maybe they could meet Purdue for the championship. I don't know how that would go.
Well, I'll make a few more threes. You might have a differing outcome. It can't. Yeah, I mean, that big monster Edie they got in the post, the 7'4 kid from Purdue, National Player of the Year, I believe, or at least he should be. You know, the only way to beat that, like if Stephen Crowell can go out to the three-pointer and nail a couple like he did today, well, suddenly Edie's got to come out and respect him on the line, on the three-point line. And what do you know? The inside might open up for, you know, some of the inside scoring, the Chucky Hepburns, the Max Kleinschmidts, to take it to the rack.
Now, that is correct, and it'd be nice to see him get a good tournament seed. And I'd actually like to see Greg Gard keep his job in Wisconsin.
Keep his job? You think his job's in jeopardy?
Only if he was one and done in the NCAA, then it could be. I'm not for that, by the way, but I'm just saying.
You know, there's been a lot of firing of coaches around the state of Wisconsin in the last year or two, hasn't there? Everyone from Paul Chris to Jim Leonard to Mike Budenholzer, to Adrian Griffith, Craig Council left us. I mean, this has been a state that definitely has seen some changes in our favorite sports teams. If it weren't for Matt LaFleur and his cute little mug, all the women like Matt LaFleur. I don't know if Mrs. Wisco likes him, but my wife finds him quite handsome. Many of the women do. But he's been the only constant here in sports. Him and Greg Gard, tell me it ain't so, Wisco.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that one. And very quickly, Van Orden actually makes Groban look good, if that's possible. And I also think Milwaukee will be on total lockdown during the convention down there. So I don't think
Well, the streets will effectively be on lockdown. You can't march unrestrained through the streets. Nowhere close to the FISA forum. They'll all be locked down. They'll be controlled by chain link and metal and bus racks and all that kind of stuff, man. You can't march down there.
Well, that's pretty much true. And then as far as the violent Trump circle, is there anybody in that circle, by the way, that isn't corrupt or haven't broke some kind of law somewhere along the line? I mean,
and Trump's circle of administration, friends, allies, Romans, and countrymen, if you are not corrupt, you're not going to fit in that circle, Wisco Paul. Why do you think they had to purge the whole RNC this week?
Again, you hit the nail on the head. And I'll be listening for the next 2 hours. So have a good show.
Well, Wisco, I hope you don't feel like you wasted it on hour one.
I don't feel that way.
All right, brother. Thanks for listening. More Devil's Advocates. Dom joins. We argue. The great debate. 32-hour work week. What do you think? Bernie Sanders thinks it's a good idea. I'm a little tepid on this one, Bernie. We'll talk about it. More Devils.